Hello, and welcome again to another episode of Practically Speaking with me, Rachel Graham, London Office Managing Partner of Harneys. And I'm very pleased to welcome back, after a long break, Amy Roost, who is the Managing Director of Client Services at Harneys Fiduciary, an Ascentium company. Amy, it's been a while.
It has, Rachel, and quite a lot's changed over the last year. I'm now based back in the BVI.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm sitting out here. It's a dank Thursday evening. It's dark outside. And I know that you are in the BVI with all the sunshine and everything that goes with that. So it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I'm very jealous. But it's lovely to see you looking so well on my podcast. So 2025, apart from being a momentous year for you personally, moving back to the BVI, what's been going on?
Well, the very back end of 24, we received sweeping changes to the legislation across the BVI business companies and limited partnerships. Initially, the deadline for the transitional period was June, and that was extended to December. So we've spent the year helping our clients to get to grips with the legislation, get their record keeping up to date, and get them filing their submissions, which is now is the crunch time. So we're under a lot of pressure.
I think one of the things that is quite striking about 2025 is the fact that the BVI has more reporting obligations than it has had before. And those are to bring it in line with industry standards. It's in line and ahead, I think, of industry standards around the world, particularly in relation to beneficial ownership registers, filing of share registers, annual return filings. We've got economic substance. We've had that for a few years now, and that's been the subject of many a happy Practically Speaking podcast in the past. Now, I did hear the other day that in relation to annual returns, this year has been a double year. What does that mean? It sounds exciting.
Yes, so it certainly has been a double year. The financial annual return, the first relevant period end was the 31st of December 23. Usually entities have 9 months to file, but there was an extension on the first period. So that took the reporting period to 18 months. So entities had till June this year to do their first year's filing, and then they had to do their second year's filing for the 31st of December 24 before the end of September. So it was quick succession for the clients to turn around both their returns in a short period.
And just by way of a reminder, that an annual return in the BVI is a return, a financial return that is filed with their registered agent in the BVI. It's not a public filing, but there is a consequence now for companies that fail to make that filing within the prescribed reporting period. And it was interesting, actually. I have seen firsthand the implication of that, because relatively recently we were looking at a company for clients. We ran a company search, and there was a notification on the search that this particular company was not in good standing for failure to file its annual return. Now, that caused some concern initially, because, you know, usually if a BVI company falls out of good standing, there is a risk of strike off and dissolution. But I understand that the registry has provided some clarification around this. Even though a company may be considered to not be in good standing because it has not filed its annual return with its registered agent, what that means in practice is that the registry will not issue a certificate of good standing for that company. And it's straightforward for that company to rectify the omission, make their annual return filing with the registered agent. The registered agent then in turn makes a filing within the Virgin system, and essentially the block on the issue of a certificate of good standing is lifted. Is that a sort of fair summary of the process?
Yeah, that is. So in practice, the obligation is, as you said, for the registered agent to collect from the entity the financial annual return for each period. So essentially, we must keep it and then we must produce it to the FSC without delay if it's requested. If we are not supplied with the return for the period before the end of the deadline, we have 30 days after the deadline. We must notify the FSC by doing a filing at the on the Virgin system that we haven't received the financial annual return. That triggers the entity to be put in not in good standing. In the event that we receive the financial annual return delayed, we then notify the FSC that that has been remedied and the FSC puts it, or the Registry of Companies puts it back into good standing.
I think what the takeaway from this is that the registry is monitoring filings very closely. It is acting in relation to failures to file swiftly, but equally it is acting in a timely manner to remove any restrictions or notifications that are imposed when it's appropriate to do so, and in this case is when the failure to file has been rectified.
That's absolutely right. I think with the changes in legislation that came in, we saw much more significant penalties and a real focus on entities meeting their administrative responsibilities. So yes, I think that's absolutely right. I think users of BVI companies need to stick to the rules. They need to understand them and they need to make sure that their filings are done on time. And certainly from what we see, there's a in some cases, automated penalty notifications coming out at midnight after a deadline, for example, by email.
I think that's a good thing for the jurisdiction, actually. I mean, I think it means that we as practitioners and you as registered agents get early notification of an issue and can take steps very quickly to rectify any issue that does arise. The other big change during 2025, and this is sort of something that's been closely watched in a lot of the offshore jurisdictions, is the introduction of beneficial ownership register filings. And I know you and your team have been working very hard collecting that information from your clients, filing that information in the Virgin system. And I understand that there have been some amendments to the Virgin system that makes some of the processes more streamlined and certainly easier to do than perhaps they were at the beginning of the year. I'm thinking in particular to some of the exemptions from filing or exemptions from disclosure. Would that be fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this legislative change that was brought about required huge development of systems, and it's there's been a few iterations. There's been a lot of ducks to get in rows over the course of the year on our side, but also on the FSC's side. Everyone's had to work very hard to make sure that the Virgin system can accommodate all the different variations of the reporting that needs to be submitted. There are still a few kind of question marks out there, if I'm being totally honest, but most of the submissions can go in now without a problem. And yes, you're right. Last week we received the update so that we can now file the exemptions for foreign trustees and for state-owned entities in the normal process that we're used to instead of a very manual process that we were doing before. So yes, we can do those submissions. Yeah, it's hot off the press, if you like.
That's fantastic news because I think being able to submit registers quickly and efficiently is absolutely key. There's another area in relation to beneficial ownership registers that I think our listeners may be interested in, and that is the ability for beneficial owners to apply for non-disclosure of their information. From what I understand, that is going to be available in early in the new year.
Yeah, that's right. The window for making those applications will open on the 2nd of January. Applications can be submitted at any point, but the FSC is encouraging applications before the accessibility of information begins on the 1st of April. So we don't know exactly how it's going to work yet, but we understand that from the 1st of January or the beginning of January, beneficial owners will be able to make these applications for the non-disclosure of their information. So they must meet certain conditions, which are laid out in a policy document at the moment. And they will, for some of the types of conditions, there will need to be, all of them will need to be evidenced, but depending on what the scenario is, we'll decide what evidence needs to be submitted for the registrar to consider whether or not it's grounds for non-disclosure.
Could you give me a couple of examples of those grounds?
Sure. So one very easy one is minors. People under 18 will be able to claim an exemption. So it's easy to see how that is systematically processed and evidenced. There are others that talk to personal risk. We have a policy document, as I said. The document is quite detailed and does go through the grounds, but we just don't know quite how the application process will actually work and the specific documents. So it's very much a work in progress, but it's important for people to know that they have that window. If this is a concern, they can make their application well ahead of time for any accessibility. And yeah, that's really the message.
And I think the first step is if you would like to consider availing yourself of one of these non-disclosure grounds, that the first step really would be to get in touch and talk to either you or lawyers like Harney's, and we can help you assess whether or not it might be applicable to you and your circumstances. Well, Amy, I think that's been really lovely to catch up. It's lovely to see you. I think there's obviously been a lot going on in 2025. I think the first quarter of 2026 is going to be pretty busy, and I'm sure there will be more that happens and more for us to perhaps have another catch up and talk about in the future.
Definitely, can't wait for that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.